One of my favorite episodes is when Jeffrey's not here and we get to be absolutely unhinged. Do you know why, Anson?
Because there's no parent to dictate us.
That, and basically Jeffrey has to edit our podcast this week, and we get to just be absolute, you know, troublemakers, and he has to deal with the consequences.
So you're basically saying that's his problem.
Oh, 100% it's his problem. He can't make it to the recording, so he has to deal with the problems. I think that's fair, isn't it?
So what issues do you have lined up today?
I'm just saying, like, it's fair. You know, who probably has a problem with us saying that? Jeffrey. But who's gonna be here to advocate for him? No one. So we're gonna be unhinged. Unhinged, just like, what the hell was going on with the Rangers and Devils? Like, I kind of would understand it a bit better if the unhingedness was between the Rangers and the Islanders, maybe. But like, why? What's with the bad blood there? I don't understand.
I think it's more specifically Matt Rempe and Curtis McDermott, though, because I think they had a fight earlier this year, and then pretty sure Devils and Rangers played again. But you know, Matt Rempe was told to just back off a bit, you know, because you've been fighting everyone, and so he's like, you know, just chill for a minute. But then for this game, because I want to say Jersey, because they were the visitors, so they submitted their starting lineup, and it was McDermott and like basically your fourth liners, your third pairing guys who would brawl, I want to say. And then so Rangers were like, okay, fine, if you're doing that, we're not going to send out Panarin and Kreider, we're going to send out Rempe and guys who can scrap. And that's kind of like what happened. It's the same thing as what happened a few years ago with Vancouver and Calgary. It was like, you're sending out guys who are going to fight. So that's just a message.
You came looking for a fight.
Essentially, yeah. Like Rangers are like, you know, you came into our house starting a fight and you're going to get one.
Okay. But then it just, okay. You know what game I was actually reminded of actually as well, because it happened to, happened at a very similar time.
Not a clue.
This is what it feels like playing. What's it called? Trivia with Jeffrey. When he starts saying stuff, and I'm just looking at him like, I have no clue what you're talking about. Not around this time, but December 8th, 2001, Calgary Flames and the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. So it was the third period. And they're up 4-0, and you know, game's basically over. And then the Flames decide, you know what, I'm done with this. So they end up getting into a bunch of fights. So you have a couple roughing calls, a couple, you know, trash checking calls in the first, second period. In the third period, Robin Regier and Kevin Sawyer get in a fight, and Kevin Sawyer attempts to injure, so he gets kicked from the game. Then Dee McCammon and Denny Lambert get in a fight and get kicked from the game. Jerome McGinley and Ruslan Salega in a fight, get kicked from the game, and this goes on forever. Basically, what I'm trying to go with here is at the end, in the third period, there was a total of 309 penalty minutes in this game, and then there's maybe like two, three players left on the bench on each team by the end of this. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I feel like if you're going to go all out, you got to go all out like that. You got to be like, screw it, we're going to have two players left at the end of this game. Like, I saw Shesterkin kind of drop his gloves. I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, these are all.
But then, if you're the GM, you're like, ooh, please don't.
It's a different type of ooh. It is a single sweat drop rolling down your cheek type of ooh.
He's taking the express elevator down to the ice. Like, he is going like, do not.
He's getting ready to jump on the ice to protect his guy.
He's going to throw out Jonathan Quick. Like, I'm pulling the goalie.
I think it just comes down to is a change of how hockey is perceived. And I think it's for the better and for the worst. You're not going to get this level of brawling anymore. You agree with that?
Like, it's an experience, essentially.
But the game of hockey's changed where that type of brawling isn't accepted like it used to be. That's where I'm trying to go with this.
Oh, I don't know, 100%. It used to be like every other game. Now it's once every few years.
Yeah. And I think it comes down to it's just if you ask people, the old time hockey folks, you know what I'm talking about, Anson?
Such as.
Such as like, I don't know, like Don Cherry or whatever, right? Like,
Okay, yeah.
the grit and grind hockey folks.
Back in my
Would
day,
they,
people.
yes, back at the back in my day boomers, I suspect you would have a couple of them say the game's gone soft. And that you need situations like that where teams are going to police themselves.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. Like, it used to be fourth liners were basically just fighters, and now fourth liners are skilled. They're skilled players too.
Yeah. At the same time, though, like the fight we saw the other day comes back down to, you know what? Maybe there's still a place for them in the league. I don't know. You know me. I have a, I put it this way. I understand the reason why, morally and ethically, I don't know if I can justify watching a guy get his face punched in 20 times a year. But at the same time, I'm also like, yeah, I think the new NHL, you need four lines of guys who can do more than just fight and hit, right? But damn, I had so much fun watching that. Does it make me a terrible person? Probably. But man, I had so much fun watching that.
But like we were also part of that generation where we saw Colton Orr or Frazier McLaren just like go out there and fight. That was their role. Like we're still part of that. We remember that, right? So like for
We
us,
are old.
so it's like for us, we're like okay, like again, tail end, sure, but at like the same time, we still remember that generation where the game was your first couple of lines were skill guys, third line was like 50-50, and your fourth line was just brute force.
Your fourth line had a role and they knew it. They
Exactly.
didn't try to outstep their bounds.
Like even like I don't know, like Ryan Reeves would be like modern day enforcer, and even he has a bit of skill though.
Yeah. Like he would be a third liner in years past. Is that fair?
Yep, exactly.
But like I don't know, like I kind of get why you don't do it. I get it, but it's when I see it though, it's just so much fun. I have no other way of saying it.
Like I generally don't really know who's on fourth lines nowadays, but like from like you know, there's Ross Johnson's, there's Matt Martin's, Cal Clutterbuck's. I don't know where Rempe really fits in the Ranger lineup, but I know he's not
He is
I know
a defender.
he's not like your top four guy though. He's not like a
Yeah,
genuine.
he's a bottom pairing defender.
Yeah, like he's not your, how do I say this in a nice way? Like he's not a
He's not the guy
He's not
that.
Jacob Trouba. He's
What
not
does
Adam
that? What do you mean
Fox.
by that? What
He's
do
not
you
Adam
mean?
Fox. Like he's
Jacob
not.
Trouba's out there with Herbie.
Trouba has more
So
skill.
I don't think so, man. I think years past he would, but the skills probably faded a little bit compared to years past.
I agree with that. But I do think Trouba has more skill currently than Matt Rempe.
I don't know, man. Have you seen Trouba play?
I've seen a lot of highlights of him just leveling guys.
I'm sure he has more value in the locker room than we may know. He is the captain, but I don't know if. Put it this way. When they were figuring out which guys to go out there and start fighting, Trouba was on there, right?
Who would you rather put though?
I don't know. That's the point, though.
Because like if you're like, okay, hey Adam Fox, go out there, I would. And a millionaire rather put Truba than Fox in that scenario.
You would hear from the press box over my dead body.
Yes, you would hear Drury go, hell to the no.
Who you're fired.
It doesn't matter
Go
who you are,
away.
but Adam Fox
Yeah.
is not going out for a line brawl. That's, you might as well put Panarin in. That's stupid.
Well, yeah, obviously you don't want to do that, but I don't know, man. That's Trouba's turned into a more grit and grind player than his skilled pass. That's probably the nicest way I can say it.
That's a very fair like assessment, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But anyways, we got some playoff hockey to start chatting about. So let's start the episode proper, shall we?
You're listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network.
And we are back. So the playoffs are basically decided, right? Like, there are a couple spots remaining. There's one wild card, one Metro spot left in the East, and in the West, one Pacific spot and two wild card spots. But let's be honest here, more or less decided, right? Especially in the West. The West is going to be the Kings. The Kings, the Predators, the Knights. Realistically, that's basically it, right? Like, barring some catastrophic meltdown, it's not going to be the Blues. The Blues have a 0.1% chance of making it in. And I believe the Golden Knights basically have to lose almost all their games, and the Blues have to basically win all their games to make it.
Because Blues are at 78 games played with 87 points, even if they win all of them, which is like outright regulation. That's what, 8 points?
There's four games left.
Yeah, no, times 2 points, like, for win.
I lost that for a second.
So 8 points would be 95. And the Knights have two games in hand, and they're already at 92.
Yes.
So, like, you're right. Like, barring, like, a Vegas going on a six-game lose streak, it's not really going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. Agreed. But, you know, you never say never, right?
No, absolutely. Like, you don't. But this is something where if you were a betting man in Pinto...
Those odds are not great.
No, but however.
But hey,
if you're
a chance, there's a chance. There's a chance. There's a chance. All I can tell you. Yeah. So, with that in mind, and I think basically, I would say the C's are basically in place as well, right?
I think there is a bit of flip flop with, like, the Pacific, like I think Kings and Knights have a bit of a, like, there's enough games left to figure out, like, who goes with who.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and the East is more of a, I don't know who's getting in. Because, like, I don't know, like, I wasn't imagining Pittsburgh to make it this far. I didn't expect Philly to make it this far. I didn't expect Caps to be in this picture. Like I don't expect any of these teams to be here at this time of the year.
So if I give you four, let's say, taking what today the projected brackets are, and I give you four matchups, tell me which one you're the most excited to watch for and the one that you're least excited to watch for. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Bruins, Red Wings, Panthers, Leafs, Hurricanes, Islanders, Rangers, Lightning. Who would you be most excited to watch?
Sorry, did you say Hurricanes, Islanders?
Yes.
And what was the first one again? I'm sorry.
Bruins, Red Wings.
Okay, that's probably my least exciting one.
Really? How come?
It's that, or it's the Carolina and Islanders. I think there's not a huge like anything going. Like, Islanders play like Islanders. Like, I get it. Like, Barzal's been a lot better since the coaching change, but I think at the end of the day, I think the way the Islanders play isn't exciting.
I'll be honest with you, because how the Islanders play is terrible. I think any time there's an Islanders playoff series, I don't really care for it.
Oh, look at the result. Don't get me wrong. Or they're in, like, triple overtime. I'm like, oh yeah, like, you know, next goal wins, great. But
yeah,
I won't actively go and select that game.
That's exactly it, right? I think they just play too defensively. Especially when I get the vibe with the reputation the Hurricanes have is that they kind of grind you down as well, right? So it turns out being two teams who can grind each other down the most. And you're just kind of sitting there being like, okay, like, you know who's getting ground down the most? the people watching it.
I do change my answer. I think Bruins and Rings would be my second least favorite, but I think, yeah, the Islanders and Hurricanes would be my least favorite by far.
Yeah, I agree. So, okay, the final two, the pairs then. Which one is the one you're your favorite then? The Panthers, Leafs, Rangers, Lightning.
I would say Rangers, Lightning is probably more exciting. Just because of pure star power.
Pure star power. So, like a Panarin, kind of like a Panarin versus, who would you put there?
Kucherov,
yeah. Shesterkin, and then Shesterkin versus Vasilevsky.
Hedman.
That's fair.
Fox. Kreider, Stamkos, Point. Like, we can go on and on. Like, genuinely, I could go on and on. But, don't get me wrong. Like, Panthers and Leafs have a history from last year.
Yeah.
And it's not like they lack star power, but I think the depth of that other series is more intriguing to me.
So, it's basically, it's two teams that are just launching players in terms of like star power versus the Leafs, who I think every year they try their best, but because of the cap reasons they can't stack it as hard, and the Panthers, who are quite under the radar.
Would you say that? I think you good.
Yes, I think just because where they are, you can't, you know, you just don't follow the, you don't follow the Rangers as often, not Rangers, the Panthers as often, right? Just because you don't really watch Florida hockey. It's just not a thing that you think about.
No, absolutely not.
All right, I agree with you that one. Okay, we look at the West now. So the West are the Canucks, Golden Knights, Avalanche, Jets, Oilers, Kings, Stars, Preds. Who do you put as the most boring pairing? Again, it's Canucks, Golden Knights, Avalanche, Jets, Oilers, Kings, Stars, Preds.
On paper, it would be Stars, Preds, but because of how boring the Kings play.
Yes.
Like how we talked about the Islanders play too safe. I think it would, any series with the Kings this year, I think it has to be them for the most boring.
But does having Connor McDavid change that?
It helps. It does help, but like, game's going to end either 5-1 because the Kings are going to give up on that strategy midway through, or it's going to end 2-1. I don't think there's going to be like a, I don't know, like a 4-2 kind of game as much.
You're not really going to see the normal type of games.
No, it's going to be it's going to be like the closest match, 1-0, whatever, or it's going to be like 5-1, I think, just because of how the Kings have decided to play.
Which is go for broke and hope for the best.
Yeah, like if they go for broke and they stop McDavid and Draisaitl, they're good. But if they don't, they're screwed.
See, I don't know.
It's easy to say that, though.
See, I don't know. Like the same thing, though. We have the same conversation before, though. Like, I think for me on paper, it's probably still the Preds and the Stars. And I think a lot of it does come back to the bias where it's just like they're just two smaller market teams that we don't really pay attention to.
They're too quiet.
But the Preds are, like, the Stars are sneaky good, right? Would you agree with that?
The Stars have a lot of really good players that, like, if you actually look at it, you're like, holy shit, the top nine is really good.
Yes. Right? Like, and it's wild that their second top scorer is 39-year-old Joe Pavelski with 65 points this season.
It's wild, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yes. Like, they've been very good, and you wouldn't expect it, but the Preds are where I'm just like, people watch the Preds.
I think they're on the radar since they went on that 18-game point streak.
I think it just comes down to okay, this, again, I think it's the same issue you have with the Islanders, is that they're a grit and grind team, right? They will outwork you. They'll play better structured defense and everything, right? Like, they went through that. Is that fair?
Is it too much to say that if I really know Yossi, who has been lights out, Saros has been lights out, Nyquist has had an incredible season there. But if you're like, hey, what's their bottom six? It's I don't really know.
It's folks.
It's friends.
Yeah, it's friends.
But like really good friends.
Yes. Very much under the radar friends.
That's so I think like that's not a stab, but it's just like that's kind of how they are. But it works out for them.
They're very similar to the Memphis Grizzlies, you know? Same idea in the NBA. Very much grit and grind. You don't really know real, like they have star power, but it's very much a grit and grind type of team. Is that fair?
Yes, because they have Luke Shen. They have Jeremy Lazan.
Yeah, they're going to outwork you, which, hey, hard work is always going to be valued, right? So I think that for me is my worst one. But if we look at the pairings, the remaining three matchups, Canucks, Golden Knights, Avalanche, Jets, Oilers, Kings, who's your most exciting matchup?
Probably Jets and Avs.
How come?
Jets have, like, you go to the beginning of the season, I think they were kind of written off in a sense where it's like, okay, you know, they're either going to be really amazing or, like, this is their all-in year, or it's going to be rebuild. Like, this is the year they get rid of Hellebuck, they get rid of Scheifele, but then, like, on the eve of, like, the first game of the season, they're like, oh, yeah, we signed matching contracts 8x8 or something. Like, we're staying. And I think that helped. Like, there wasn't any, like, I guess there was, like, less, like, lingering concerns with the locker room. It's like, okay, you know, like, will they stay, will they go? They're like, no, we're staying, and we're here to win. So I think that resolved that, and it's Kyle Connor's good. Ehlers has been not as great as previous years, but I think for one point, like, Jets were genuinely just like, hey, like, we can't stop them. And Avs, I don't think you need much explanation. It's just they're so well-rounded from top to bottom.
So looking at this one, I think it's, I don't know how excited I am for, like, I'm excited, but I don't think it's the most exciting matchup for this one. Like, at the end of the day, you're looking at it, a very good offenses and a very, very hot goalie. Is that fair? I don't think the defense of the Jets is that great.
Yeah, like, Morrissey's a shoe-in, but the rest of them are solid, but not, like, they're not, oh, how do you say this? The Avs got rid of Byram, and they were fine. You can't do that with the Jets.
Mm-hmm. It's two teams who are really pushing it. I think the Avs are in their prime, and they know it, right?
Oh, 100%.
I think the storyline for me is that the Jets were first in the league at one point. Do you remember that?
Yeah, like they were, they were like the best team. Not the best Canadian team. They're the best team by, like, far.
Yeah. So it's, they haven't been as good as they need to be the last couple months. Is that fair?
Yeah. Like, I think for them, like, they kept that streak on. They'd have been, like, actually historic.
So I think that team is just, like, I worry about that Jets team. I'll be completely honest with you. I don't think that Jets team makes it very far. Like, that team is dependent on.
It takes a lot to beat the Avalanche, too.
Yeah, like, that team is completely based off of Connor Hellebuck's ability to steal games.
Yeah, yeah.
So, at that point, it's just, like, you try to figure out, can you at this point? Like, it is a lot of work and a lot of pressure for him. So, I don't know. I don't find that one that interesting. I think the most interesting one for me is actually the Canucks Golden Knights. Because the Canucks are actually first, and they've got a quietly good team as well, well-rounded. They're pushing. And then you got the Golden Knights, who have just decided, hey, we're going to push like the world's going to explode every offseason. You know what I mean?
The trade deadline for the Knights were, it was actually A+, if you actually look at it.
So let's recap that. What is that trade line A+ from?
Okay, so there are acquisitions that I do remember was Hannafin, which came out of nowhere, but not surprised because it was like, oh man, like Vegas is going to get him. Of course they are. I forgot they got one more player, but then
so the, let the me biggest one, let me, why don't I just give you a few pointers here. They acquired Anthony Manta.
There you go. That's the guy.
For second and a fourth. They acquired Noah Hannafin for some prospects as well. They acquired Thomas Hurdle as well.
Which was like a 259 acquirement.
Sorry, what do you mean by 259?
Like the deadline was at 3 p.m. or whatever, and he got it at the last minute.
Yes. Yes.
That was like
Hurdle hasn't played yet, though.
Yes, but you know when he's playing?
I wonder when, Anson. When would he be playing?
I can tell you exactly when he's playing. And I can also tell you exactly when the ruptured spleen of Mark Stone will be healed. I know,
can doctor. You share that, Dr. Wong? Dr. Anson? Can you share that, Dr. Anson?
I'm no doctor, but I do know if you look at the history of the Golden Knights, they have miraculously played players in game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I would not be surprised if Hurdle and Stone just come back on that first game.
I wonder if that will happen.
It's like Vegas has some Lazarus Pit or something that just happens to work.
That team is interesting because you kind of will expect that Mark Stone will be able to kind of fit in with how that team plays. But Thomas Hurdle, you really don't know, right? If he's going to be able to adapt quick enough.
And you don't, but you also have six more years to figure that out.
Well, I mean, for the playoffs, I'm looking at just solely at the playoff series, right?
Yeah, but then Hurdle is such a talented player where I don't think it's going to be a huge issue. Like, I don't think they acquire a guy with 6 years left if they're not confident that he's going to work out.
That's fair. And I think when it comes down to playoffs, though, it comes to the depth, right? You need those depth players to come unexpected. And, you know, who has been an unexpected depth player that's been amazing for the Vancouver Canucks? Nils Höglander. I am always going to be on the forefront of the Nils Höglander trade. Like, you have players like, you have those storylines from the season. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, Hog was, Jeffrey and I were down on him, and you weren't. And this year, he's broken out, I would say.
Right. So you have those depth pieces. So it's just like, is like, what's going to happen? Like, are they going to be able to be carried by star power? Right. One side, you have the star power, you have the Hurdles, you have the Stones, you know, you have the Hannafins, you have, I'm blanking on names,
Jack Eichel,
William Karlsson. Right? It's all star on one piece, right? It's very star heavy one piece on team. And I'd say, you have a bit more balance coming from the Canucks, right? You got your guys like Dakota Joshua, who's somehow gotten 29 points a season. You've got your Nils Höglander, right? You're still somehow carrying out a pairing of Ian Cole and Tyler Myers somehow, right? It's a bigger contrast for me. And I think that's what I want to see more out of that matchup than the Avalanche Jets one. But that is also a very good one that I'd also be interested in. Like, as a Kings fan, I know to say, hey, Kings Oilers, that's one I want to watch the most. But as a neutral fan, that Canucks Golden Knights one is actually very interesting. But
I can see that.
But the point of winning the Stanley Cup for an individual reason, right, is that it looks good for your Hall of Fame resume. Right, Anson?
Yeah. It helps.
So I was kind of tossing around. I was thinking, I was looking at some players, and I just wanted your opinion on if these players could make it into the Hall of Fame.
So what's the requirements? Like, they're just playing, like active players, or?
These are all active players. Like, they're going to be in the playoffs. So they're not going to be like, hey, you know, do you think this guy from like 10 years ago is going to make the Hall of Fame? Like, I'm going to ask you a player that's playing currently today.
Okay.
They may not be in the playoffs, but you'll know the name, right? Or if not, you'll be like, no, they're not making the Hall of Fame. That sounds fair, right? And they're not going to be like, hey, do you think Connor Bedard's going to make the Hall of Fame? It's going to be players later on in their career.
Tank for Bedard?
You know what I mean? So, for example, Brad Marchand. Does he make the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Why?
He's almost at like 1,000. What's it called? 1,000 points, 1,000 games, one or the other. Okay. He has stepped it up since that World Cup. I want to say 2016, and he's gone from like, you know, a pest, a rat, to like someone where it's like, okay, like you're just really, really good job. You're just really, really good at doing your job, but you're also like a point getter. And I think, like, he's the captain of the Bruins nowadays. It's like, that's not an easy, like, that's not an easy C to come by. Like, Chara, Bergeron, Marchand. It's a pretty good, like, line to come from.
So that was the easy one. Next one, Marc-Edward Vlasic. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think the last
He has a gold medal from the Sochi Olympics, a gold medal from the World Cup of Hockey, and two silvers from the World Championships.
That's tough, though. I think the last few years doesn't help, though. Like, I want to say yes.
Are you a recency bias guy, though?
No, because when you're looking at Hall of Fame, you're looking at the whole career, which is what we should look at. But this guy's been benched, like, a few times this year, so you're just like, oh, shit, like, damn, that sucks. Like, I want to say yes as well, just because, like, you don't get into, like, the Canadian Olympic team by luck. So, and the fact that he was, like, you know, he's Vlasic. He's the guy you're like, okay, I shut someone down. And in those years, in his absolute prime, Vlasic was one of the best players to do in that. So, I think he's a yes. Like, he doesn't have the points, obviously. He's not the guy who gets, I don't know, like 80 points a year for a defenseman, but he's the guy you call upon and be like, okay, you know, I have like, I don't know, a minute and a half left in the game. We're up by one. He's the guy I would put out there.
We look at I would say the complete opposite player of Vlasic, Brent Burns. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think he's a Hall of very, very, very good. I don't know if he's Hall of Famer though.
So do you remember what Brent Burns started out his career as?
Forward.
Yes, former forward. He has one gold, one silver in the World Championships, one World Cup of Hockey gold medal, and one World Junior silver medal.
Okay.
Does that change it for you?
No, really. No. Not really, unfortunately, because it's not really like an Olympic gold.
Okay. Olympic gold is important to you, and a World Cup of Hockey gold is not equal to an Olympic gold.
I think that's a very fair assessment.
Okay, that's your assessment. I disagree. I think he's a Hall of Famer. John Tavares, is he a Hall of Famer? Let's say his career ended today.
Oh, tough one.
See, these are not as painful as trivia, but they're painful in their own way. Only.
Yeah, because you kind of be like, it's at the moment, it's a kind of like a no. Because if for me, if Rick Nash doesn't get into that, I don't think John Tavares gets into that either.
Tavares, how I'm just being a, what's the word I want to use? I'm just being a asshole. I just say, that's what I decided to use. He has been the captain of two teams.
Okay.
And he has, I'm looking this up. I should have looked this up. He does have a gold medal from the Olympics,
yep.
A gold medal from the World Cup, two gold medals from the World Juniors, and a gold from the Spengler Cup.
How many Hall of Famers have not played much in the playoffs?
I mean, Tavares has played 55 games in the playoffs.
Okay.
And he has 44 points in the playoffs. So it's not like he doesn't play in the playoffs.
It's not like he doesn't show up.
Yeah, he shows up. Yeah.
I think he's on the line where it's like, okay, he could. But at the same time, if it ends today, probably not. But I think the way it's going, it's going to be a yes. Like moving.
Seven-time All-Star.
I don't love the All-Star thing because you kind of have to pick one for every team.
Okay.
I get it because, you know, he was part of, like, he played for the Leafs, he played for the Islanders, but the fact that Leo Komarov got an All-Star nod.
That was the exact was captain. I was thinking of it too.
it kind of ruins a bit. Like it helps. Like so you don't get in second. You don't get in seven times All Star for no reason. But I think it's not as high valued as before.
Okay, so I've got one more for you, and this one I think is the hardest one of them all.
That's a no.
If his career ended today, Nate McKinnon, is he an All Star? Is he a Hall of Famer?
Oh.
And this one's the hardest one right there.
This one's a fun one, though.
Yeah, it is fun. We should do this more often with Jeffrey, too.
That's a tough one. Like, what's his point?
In 787 career regular season games, he has 892 points. In 77 playoff games, he has 100 playoff points.
Jesus Christ.
He is also 28.
So he's in his prime. He's legitimately in his prime.
Yes. He currently has 133 points this season in 78 games.
I think it's controversial, but I'm going to say yes. Because, like, why the fuck do you not put this guy in?
Do you look at his body of work and, like, extrapolating to the future, or are you just solely look at his body of work right now?
We're talking about, like, if it ended right now.
Yeah.
So if it ended, like, at the end of the season, I would say yes. It's a bit of, like, gray line, though.
Do you think it's a close call, or is it a pretty straightforward call in your head?
It's like a 65.
65%? Yes.
It's a yes, because besides his second year, which a sophomore slump, I think he was just really, really fucking good for the rest of it.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. The whole point of this is kind of like a trivia, but not as painful.
like, what was your answer for all four of those guys? So you got Marchand.
Marchand, I'd say yes.
Vlasic.
Vlasic, I say yes.
Burns.
Burns, I'm a hard maybe lean towards a yes because he's one of the few players that made a transition from being a pretty good right winger to a really good defenseman. But at the same time, didn't
play defense.
Yeah, we knew we didn't really play defense, which is hard. But I think if you look at what I think the Hall of Fame values, I feel like they value forwards a bit more. Like you have to be very, very good defensive defenseman like Vlasic to be considered. While you can be like a pretty okay offensive defenseman to be kind of considered as well. Tavares, I'd say probably. I think after like the international success, it means a lot to me. And then for McKinnon, I'd say no. I think just at 28, they're just too short of a body of work to say
what,
yes.
What about Makar?
No, if I complain that the body of work is not enough. I can't be like a 25-year-old Makar is good too. I think
because he could play another 12 years, but he just plays as like a top six guy and not.
Yeah.
Norris Trophy.
Yeah, I think Hall of Fame is to look at your entire career. If you look at it just today, he's played 300 games.
Oh, right? Like, fuck, okay.
311 games. I think it's just too short to really make a decision. If he continues where he's at, I think so. But like as of right now, I don't think so.
I just think like I'm looking at McKinnon's stats from like year by year. It just gets better year by year. There was a bit of a dip in 2016-17, where he went 53 points in 82 games. But wasn't that also the season that they just completely shut the bed?
It doesn't really matter, though. He was, what, 22 at that point? 53 points is solid regardless.
No, that's his one, two, three, fourth season, the 22.
Yeah, like he's still young. Like I don't really care about that, to be honest with you. If your sophomore slump comes a little later, whatever.
But then after that, he's got 97 points, 99, 93, 65, and 48 games, 88 and 111 and 130 something right now. It's like he gets better.
Yeah. So I think maybe a couple more years, if he was, let's say, 32, 33 and still kind of on this pace, then yeah, that's easy for me, right? But 28's a little early for me to make that call.
I think there's a bit of recency bias. Because this is how dominant he's been. Like, in a way, he's kind of just... Like, if I see McKinnon play, I'm like, I kind of want to watch him play. Because, like, he's fast, but he's also, like, stupidly strong. He'll he'll like reverse check you, and you'll be like, "What just happened?"
Well, yeah, I think he's probably one of the top three players, I'd say.
Yeah, like he's actually like he's one of the guys where it's like you don't expect how strong he is, and you're just like, but he's also so skilled and so fast. It's just like, oh goddamn, okay, like good job, Az, for picking him number one overall back then, and we're always laughing at you.
Yeah, I don't think the problem is his production; it's just the longevity,
which is a fair assessment because you can't judge players by how they are in their, I guess at this point, 10th season. But at the same time, it's just like I can't disregard it for me.
Yeah. All right, cool. That was my list of five players anyways. See, not as painful as trivia. I don't have to know anything about the 1973 Pittsburgh Penguins.
How many games does the Leafs have left? Just off the board question.
I want to say four.
So I think Matthews is a five away from 70.
Does he make it? Let me check right now. They have five games left.
So Devils, Wings.
Matthews has scored in tonight's game against the Penguins.
Yeah.
So he is up to 65. Does he get one goal a game for the remainder of the season?
So here's what they got. Devils, Wings, Panthers, Lightning. It's tough.
Is it bad if he gets 69?
No. Because it's very reasonable that he gets stonewalled by one of these teams.
I think 69 is probably where he ends up.
Not as a meme, but I just think that, yeah, like, but I also think that because they're set, like, they're going to overtime right now, and if he scores, great, he's at 66. But,
yeah.
I mean, I think because, like, the fact that they're in the playoffs now, they're like, okay, we're in. And I don't think they can change much with the playoff matchup. I think they're going to play Panthers more or less.
Yeah.
I think the Leafs would try and just feed the living crap out of him. Like the Caps do with Ovi.
Yeah. I could see that. If they feed him like, you know, empty net goals, yeah, maybe, but I think he gets 69, that's the number I'm going with.
I think he makes 70 just on the pure basis of like, you know what, he's been on a hot streak and this is the time to go on a hot streak.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time to feel confident, and he is. You can see it.
Yeah, it's fair. So you think he goes to 70?
I think,
or does he go past 70?
I think he gets just 70. I think we're going for 71, 72. I think we're really pushing it.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see in a couple weeks when the next episode comes out. And if we don't talk to y'all then, Jeffrey loves y'all, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network. You want to complain about us? You can tweet us at BOP_POD on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.